I think all of us have been a little bit frustrated by the pulpit arrangement here and tried to figure it out. I received three letters from Don Berry about the time, and I've just about figured out the pulpit arrangement, John. He wrote one time that you have 18 minutes. Another time he said you have 20 minutes. And the third time he said you have 25 minutes. So I believe the thing is to preach 25 minutes here and 20 there and 18 here. I believe that was the arrangement he had in mind. Don has assigned me a subject, and I was a 440-yard man in college, and he's asked me to do the 100-yard dash, and that's hard. The subject is Christ, man, an instrument of healing. Now, when I started thinking about it, I thought about a friend of mine out in Texas, a Pentecostal preacher, and Pete was telling me about a day that he'd had rather difficult, tiresome, like this day for many of us, and they were having a healing service at the close of the day. His mind was tired, and his tongue got twisted. A dear lady came up, knelt there in front of him, and he put his hands on her head and thought that he was saying what he should say. He said, "Come out of this devil, my friend." Now, I decided that we were not divine healers, so that wasn't the direction that Don wanted me to take. Then a Christian physician in our city, without knowing what he was saying, said something to me. He said, "The Bible in the hand of a preacher is like the scalpel in the hand of a surgeon." You think about that. Christ, man, an instrument of divine healing. The Bible in the hand of a preacher or a pastor is like the scalpel in the hand of a surgeon. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Paul, in writing to Timothy, said all scripture, not part of the scripture, not some of the scripture, not that that meets my intellectual satisfaction, but all of the scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Now, some are saying in our day that the cup of cold water will take the place of the gospel tract. The social radical does not believe that. Just before the student demonstration in Washington, I was standing there on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial in that city, and a social radical handed to me a tract espousing their doctrine. And all over that city, the word revolution was used. And yet that's a term that ought to apply to us. And the term radical was used, and that's a term that ought to apply to us. That we ought to be the radicals, and we ought to see the revolutions taking place. "Go ye therefore into all the world, go into the highways and the hedges, go into the streets and the lanes of the city, and compel them to come in." You know, we need to get back to our forefathers. They say of those Baptists in Virginia that you couldn't meet one in the road without him cramming a verse of scripture down your throat. They told our early forefathers not to speak anymore in the name of Jesus. And they said, "For we are not able not to speak. All scripture is profitable for doctrine and profitable for reproof." You heard of the country preacher that went to the big city preacher and borrowed one of his commentaries. He was on the annual associational meeting. And that's a bigger thing than being on the Pastors Conference or the Southern Baptist Convention if you're a country preacher. I can remember when I pastored on the black land of North Texas, so far out in the country that if it rained, you couldn't get out or in. And I'd been placed on annual associational meeting. And I was thrilled, I was excited, and yet I was scared to death. But here I was going to stand in the pulpit of that big First Baptist Church. Well, God blesses, and God guides, and God directs. That country preacher took that commentary back to that pastor of that First Baptist Church, and he said, "My Bible throws a lot of light on your commentary. Paul said all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for correction." This position, friend, said that the Bible in the hand of the preacher is like the scalpel in the hand of the surgeon. He also said that there is one known cure for cancer, that it must be cut out. And wherever sin exists in the life, then it must be cut out. Now, the physician didn't say that the surgeon would take the scalpel and that he would stab the patient, but with careful and decisive incisions that he would cut out the cancer. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for instruction in righteousness. You know, there are some that tell us we ought not to speak until we've addressed ourselves to the issues of the day. I like what that great Negro preacher, Manuel Scott, said. He said, if we would preach the Bible, then we'll address ourselves to all the issues of the day, and then called our attention to the sixth chapter of the book of Acts, where the Grecians were against the Hebrews, the race problem. And then there arose a murmuring. Now, we've identified war with a foreign country and a uniform and guns. I was in World War II, 56 combat missions over Europe. But if you've ever been in a church fight, you've been in a church where there's murmuring, then you know that the combat is far worse in that church than out on a battlefield. Warfare, a murmuring arose. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. I never shall forget, as a student in Southwestern Seminary, Dr. E.D. Head was the president. And he was making a plea for loyalty to the Word of God, moved deeply by emotion. His head was shaking in that mannerism that was natural to him. And then as he came to the climax and the conclusion, his entire body was shaken with emotion. As he held his Bible aloft and said this: when I can't believe it just like my mother believed it, then I'll lay it down. And when he did, he walked away from it and said, I'll walk away from the word of God before I bring shame upon that word. You know, I admire the fellow that comes to the place where he can't believe that all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and has the moral courage to lay it down and walk away from it. You know, I like what Bill Glass said about Eliezer. You heard him last night. He said Eliezer took the sword in his hand and he gripped it so tight and he fought with such intensity that when the battle was over, they had to pour cold water upon his hand and prise his fingers loose one at a time. You know, I hope that this book and the message of this book becomes so ingrained in the fiber of my total being that it'll not be able to be separated when the battle is over. Let us pray. Father, how grateful we are for the divine inspiration of thy word. And we pray that you might increase our faith in thy word and cause us to be unselfish in sharing it with others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.